A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. Something of a theme that we see emerging from the Gospels, or at least something that seems to happen repeatedly, is that in the life of Jesus, at least the parts of the life of Jesus that are recorded and reported in the Gospels, the Lord seems to have preferred the company of sinners, of people that the rest of society looked down on. Right? We hear often that he's spending time with tax collectors and with prostitutes and people that not only are, you know, sinners in the sense that everybody's imperfect, but, you know, would be considered big sinners, and those who are sort of publicly shamed and kind of considered to be on the fringes of society. Jesus spends a lot of time with these people, according to the gospel. And Jesus gets defensive about these people, and he even says things to us that sound almost kind of like a taunt. It says, you know, he says to the Pharisees, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven before you. And it's a puzzling thing to us because it almost seems to be exalting moral depravity. But we know that that can't be the case. We know the Lord isn't exalting or praising moral depravity. So what is it that's going on? Why is Jesus so open to and so friendly with these sinful people? Why does he spend time with tax collectors and women publicly known to be in sin? Why does he tell us that tax collectors and prostitutes are getting into heaven before us? And what maybe is the meaning of this story of the sinful woman who kind of breaks into this house during this dinner party and washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries him with her hair and anoints his feet with this expensive ointment? I would say it's this. The Lord can do more, much more, with humility than he can do with pride. And just to be straight with ourselves, none of us is able to make ourselves righteous. None of us is able to earn our way into the kingdom of heaven. All of us are utterly and completely dependent on grace. All of us, insofar as we are made righteous, insofar as we are justified, we're justified by grace, right? We're justified by the free gift of God. All of us, insofar as we're able to do good in our lives, all of us, insofar as we're able to follow the Lord closely or to obey the law, do so by his grace, not by our own goodness, not by our own just pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and doing it. And this is something that the scriptures, and this is something that especially St. Paul wants us to be really, really aware of. Right? Paul says he preaches nothing but Christ crucified, this utter dependence on grace. None of us makes ourselves righteous. There is a danger that the normal person in society who's got flaws but is not too bad, there's a danger to that person that is not present in the life of a great sinner, like a prostitute or a tax collector, somebody who is known for defrauding and manipulating his neighbors. And the danger is this, that if you're living a life that's pretty decent, you can fall into the trap of believing that you can save yourself. Right, we can fall into this trap, and it's essentially pride, that of not realizing that we have to come to the Lord childlike, completely open-armed and completely dependent on his mercy, because it's his grace alone that justifies that. If there's one person in the world who's not convinced that they can save themselves, it's the person who's completely humiliated and broken by their sin. And so in some way, we see the gospel telling us that that these people that Jesus encounters who are completely humiliated and broken by sin, in some strange way, in the economics of the gospel, these people are closer to the Lord. And it's because despite the fact that on the surface, we could say that their sins are maybe a bit worse, that their lives are a little bit more depraved than the normal person's, they also have a very childlike openness to the Lord's mercy and forgiveness, because they have no mistaken belief that they are able to save themselves. This sinful woman, whoever she was, and whatever, we kind of speculate about what her sins were, but whatever it is that she did that made her an outcast of society, that made the Pharisee judge her simply by the fact that she walked into the room, that made the Pharisee say, if Jesus were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't let her touch him. But that woman was not prevented by pride from simply coming broken and humbled-hearted, with completely open arms to the Lord, and pouring herself out to him, bathing his feet with her tears, drying the tears off his feet with her hair. She had the humility, because of her brokenness and because of her awareness of her brokenness, to avail herself completely to the Lord. So what this tells us is not, it would be mistaken to determine that we need to explore new depths of depravity in our lives so that we can somehow be more close to the Lord. That's absurd. But what we can do is recognize that all of us, in fact, are sinners. Right, and so are the Pharisees in the gospel, by the way. They may have been very strict, law-abiding Jews, but they lack charity. They lack love. All of us are sinners. But we don't necessarily need to be afraid of our sins. We don't necessarily need to wallow in our sins, because we can recognize in our sins that, the way the Lord can take anything and turn it to good, right? He can take evil and turn it to good. He can take our sins and turn it to good. And one of the ways that he can do that is he can take our sinfulness. And if we have the humility to recognize our sinfulness and recognize our brokenness and have that be a new occasion for a deeper recognition of how dependent we are on his love, his mercy, then our sins can actually become an occasion for our drawing nearer to the Lord and being more open to receiving his mercy. When we read this gospel, and the Pharisee says, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know who this woman was and he would act differently. And we could maybe flip that around on the Pharisee and say to the Pharisee, if you knew who Jesus was, and if you knew the love and the mercy that God the Father shows us in Jesus, that you would act more like this woman.